always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams, my co-host, and our panelist this morning is Paul from Waukesha and Tom from L.A. You two can join the fray at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. Sandy, there was a conversation that you wanted to have with our panelists.
Well, yeah, I thought, rather than talking about words, which we've been talking about for the last 2 hours, it would be a lengthy conversation about words and a complicated one if we threw it over into the group. I thought what we might focus on is a particular issue. One of the issues that I find that is close to me and I think could cross party lines and get people to see something more or less in the same way is how well is society and how well is our society and our government and our governments tending to the welfare of our children? Are we doing the things that are necessary to make sure that our children are safe and secure, that they're healthy, that they're well-educated, and that they're tended to during the day while their parents work in our economy, and whether they are able to proceed and get the education, all the education they need to be the most fruitful and make the biggest contributions to our society as they grow up. So, to me, I'd like to focus on that issue because I think there definitely are things we could be doing or should be doing, and also I think that we might be making policy choices with how we spend money that keep us from being able to tend to our children the way we should, and we're spending money in ways that maybe we shouldn't be.
You know, Sandy, the fact that we even have to have a discussion on it is what's bothersome to me. And we're talking about all of the children of this nation because, you know, all of them live in the nation. And so the nation should be concerned about all of the children because in the end, it's their world.
Well, you know, I think some societies and some countries view the money they spend on children's welfare and health and education not as a handout but rather as an investment, and that they're investing in the future of their country by making sure that the children in the country grow up to make as strong a contribution as possible to the country as well as to their own livelihoods and lives. And so, you know, I think in our country we tend to view money that's expended on behalf of children who maybe are living in less affluent households as being some kind of a handout or an entitlement. And so I'm trying to pierce through that and have people look at this and first of all discuss, do we all agree that spending money on the welfare of children at large is an investment that we all should be making?
You know, Sandy, the before we go to our panelists, the question becomes, how do we get to this point? There was a point not so long ago when the children did matter and when their educations did matter. And even though there was always some issues that where there wasn't equality across the board, there were safety nets that were set up in the society to make things better. Because the folk who were here before us, I think they kind of understood that so goes the youth, so goes the nation.
Well, maybe. I think that our society and our political, socio-political system in the United States has evolved over time, and it's also had to now evolve in the face of new and different issues and problems that maybe didn't exist in the same manner 60, 70, 80 years ago. So we apparently evolved in a manner much different than most of the developed nations of the world who place whose government and whose tax dollars are spent on behalf of children, both willingly and generously, in manners that we don't.
Sandy, we don't do it. Public education—they created that.
Yeah.
Right. Somebody, our forefathers, thought it was important to make sure that every child had public education.
Well, and we continue to have access to public education. The quality of that education is possibly in question. But I'm looking for issues beyond education, which include health. Now, we never did take care of that issue because the health system in the 50s and 60s worked adequately based on Blue Cross, Blue Shield, and employers extending coverage and benefits to families and the much lower expense of health care if you became sick. You know, the system has evolved, the problems have evolved, but we chose not to evolve in a fashion similar to the way most of the developed nations have evolved with respect to how we take care of our children.
Let's go to Paul from Waukesha. Good morning to you, Paul. How you doing? Thank you very much for accepting the invitation. You say what?
Good morning. I'm just kind of getting in at the tail end of the conversation here, but you guys were talking about education.
We weren't just talking about education, but go ahead.
That's the one I'll go on right now.
Go ahead.
I mean, there's a couple. I just want to say with these political ads that I'm being subjected to on both sides, I'm really getting tired of it. You know, the rampant name calling, who's a socialist, who's a communist, who's a fascist. I don't know. I'd like to concentrate on reality in regards to that. But I'll talk about education. Yes, education, every child, no matter who you are, red, black, brown, white, whoever, whatever, it's very important in society. This is what helps, you know, keep a country growing and moving forward. But I noticed that there's a lot of issues in regards to, like, the Milwaukee public school system. I'll just shoot that out. It's a terrible school system. Terrible school system. I think it's going down the wrong road. And I have to say that it's mainly led by progressive / leftist democratic leadership. And it's failing.
Can I ask you a question about that, Paul? Do you think that a big part of the problem that the Milwaukee public school system has to do with the socioeconomic status of the residents within the city of Milwaukee and what's happened to that? Because the demographics in the city of Milwaukee and the social economic status of the people in Milwaukee has changed remarkably as the middle class manufacturing sector in Milwaukee has collapsed.
Yes. Right now, if you want a job, basically you can get one anywhere. My company included, I'm seeing more companies offer apprenticeships. It doesn't matter who you are, if you're black, white, red, whatever. If you want a job and you're willing to put the work in, this is what
Paul, I'm not asking you about, you know, sort of the issue initiative or equity in that respect. I'm asking you about the situation of the social condition, the socioeconomic condition of the people that Milwaukee Public School is trying to teach, and whether they don't face a profoundly different socioeconomic problem with respect to who they're trying to instruct as compared to, for instance, the Oconomowoc School District. I mean, wouldn't you agree that there's a significant difference in the issues that the Milwaukee public school system must address? And do you think those differences...
Oh, yeah, there's huge issues.
Yes, and wouldn't
the
you say that...
The Oconomowoc public school system is ran probably more conservative. Oconomowoc, I'm assuming, is a very conservative...
I'm not asking...
Milwaukee has had the same problems for years.
Really?
And Milwaukee has been ran by Democrats for years.
Well, Paul,
not working. I'm not seeing the progress.
Paul, just a minute. You know, in the 1940s and 1950s, the Milwaukee Public
School... This is 1940s. This is 2022.
No.
I'm not going to equate racist 1950s.
Okay. Stop. The 1940s and 1950s in Milwaukee, the Milwaukee Public School District was one of the leading educating school districts in the country, and the city was run by a socialist mayor. Okay.
Yes, that was the last time it was not a Democratic mayor with a socialist.
Yes, that's right. And the school district, and the school district was undoubtedly run by whatever the version of liberal was back in that day, and the outcome from the school district was extremely successful.
Let me say this, Sandy. What frustrates me is Paul, who lives in Waukesha, speaks in absolutism when it comes to what's going on in Milwaukee, even though he doesn't live there. And so this is part of what's at the root of the problems that we have. You know, I don't live in let me finish my point, sir.
Sure.
I don't live in Waukesha. So I don't talk about, for the most part, what's going on in Waukesha, because I don't live there. But you feel comfortable with speaking in absolute terms that you understand what is going on in the city of Milwaukee. And so, you know, that's probably part of what some of the problems are that we're dealing with, that you can speak so absolutely and you don't live in Milwaukee.
No, I don't go to Milwaukee.
Okay, so if you don't,
Paul just said something. You said that Milwaukee is very dangerous.
Very dangerous.
Do you think? Do you realize that it's undoubtedly more dangerous for you to get in your automobile and drive than it is for you to experience whatever danger there is associated with Milwaukee? And
I work in Milwaukee.
It's
fourth and Silver Spring.
Hey, Paul, I live in Milwaukee, and I know, but I live there, and I'm not terrified. Okay. I live there 365 days a year. So when I hear people...
Crime is out of control.
No, Paul, let me say this.
Yes, it is.
I live there, and so I'm not fearful of living there. But yet you come on these public airwaves and send a message how dangerous Milwaukee is. I live there.
Milwaukee is dangerous.
Well, I'm not saying that. I got to go to a break, Paul. Hang on, Paul. I got to go to a break. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. You're at the breakfast. Morning breakfast with Earl and Sandy. Let's go to Eric from Wauwatosa. Hey, Eric, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Hey, Earl. How's everyone doing this morning on a Monday?
All right. Well, you heard Paul.
Surviving.
Right?
Yeah, I'm way busy doing some other stuff, and the willful ignorance of Paul put me on the phone.
Go ahead.
So what I'd like to say quickly is this, and I believe, honestly, I'd like to challenge Sandy in the same sense of this, is that when you start discussing Milwaukee public school system, even Sandy goes immediately to the demographics and the poor people, which is all kind of, you know, code speak for the black folks. So what I'd like to say and ask Paul and ask anybody that discusses this ad nauseum and tries to get their sound bites out, who controls the funding for Milwaukee public schools? It's the state. And what branch or what party has been in control and been destroying all public schools, but specifically siphoning off of Milwaukee in every way, shape, or form since, 2010, correct? It's been Republicans. This is a Republican problem. The failure of our education system and the failure of Milwaukee can be pinned on the Republicans in every way, shape, or form, and it's willful ignorance to blame the people of Milwaukee and the city of Milwaukee, the administrators of the public school system. They do not fund the schools aside from what they can get from the state. which is why we're in the situation we're in. The state's been doing this for 30 years, but it's been on high octane since 2010. So I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Sandy, you want to respond?
Yeah, you know, I do think, that, however, that the socioeconomic condition of the people being taught has an impact on the problems associated with teaching them and the inability to get adequate funding. You know, the fact is that if you have a classroom that is more difficult to teach, you should have fewer students in that classroom and not more students. And that's fundamental to some of the issues that have been faced in the Milwaukee Public School District, which is that by having less funding, the teacher to student ratio is damaged.
Let's go to Tom. Hey, Tom, you say what, my friend?
Well, first off, I would like to thank the previous caller for saying the word democratic, because I think if we're going to have a conversation, we can at least respect each other's forms of using the words. Messaging does matter. I think what needs to change in the system, and if we really cared about our children, we'd be looking at the children and saying, guns in classrooms, shootings in our schools. We'd really look at that and go, you know what, we got a problem here. We also would look at the fact that we're using property taxes as a base of education systems. Whoever came up with that system, I don't know if it was a Democratic or a Republican person, but I'll tell you what, worst system ever. And then on top of it, even the ones that do have good schools don't have healthy lunches, don't have good food. They basically are whatever the corporations want.
So,
they have sodas, they have all these different things. Say we care about kids is wrong.
So we morphed into this discussion on education when Sandy's original question was whether or not that we as a society have, you know, really planned out, or if we really care about the children of this nation.
Well, education is one facet, but, you know, we don't have health care for kids, right?
We do not. We don't care about the kids. Let's stop being like we do, because we don't care about the kids. We don't care about their future with the environment. We don't care about their, and it all goes back. I sound like a beating this dead horse, but it all goes back to money and politics.
So Tom,
it all goes back to what the corporations are going to get out of this whole situation.
All right, Tom, let's go back to Paul from Waukesha. Paul.
Hi.
You want to respond to anything that's been said?
The Milwaukee public school system is ran by Democrats. That's a fact. Milwaukee's been ran by Democrats.
Nobody's questioning that.
Okay, so then it goes back to a leader.
Did you hear what the gentleman from Wauwatosa say it?
Say that again?
Did you hear what the gentleman from Wauwatosa said about your response?
Oh, where he called me ignorant and everything else.
I think when you get to the merits of what he was saying, he was talking about funding and the inability of the city of Milwaukee schools to get the funding they need to deal with the issues they have.
Well, as far as I've known, the state of Wisconsin got millions of dollars in COVID relief funds that the governor of Wisconsin has yet to figure out how to spend.
So the last
that I noticed that he was deeply involved with the educational system of Wisconsin.
So, Paul,
so once again, it's going back to leadership who's leading the ship.
So, Paul, let me say this to you. What has been going on in Milwaukee Public Schools did not just occur under Governor Evers and with COVID resources. The lack of resources that have not been coming into Milwaukee Public Schools spans decades. Are you aware of that?
I don't have all the statistics
okay,
on that.
So
no, I'm not very knowledgeable.
Okay, so if you, so
but
if
I do
you're
know
not,
that,
sir,
that,
so
that
if you're not knowledgeable,
school system,
if you're not knowledgeable on those things, then when you make absolute
well,
I would have to look at that.
Milwaukee's a very dangerous place. It's segregated. It's dangerous.
Well,
to say that crime isn't a problem in Milwaukee is ludicrous.
Is it dangerous because it's segregated? Is that what you're referring to?
No, it's dangerous. I don't care who's doing the crime. Crime is an issue in Milwaukee.
Hey,
the Milwaukee public school system is one of the worst in the nation.
Hang on, have to go to a break.
844-967-2789.
We'll be back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. You know, we're doing this breakfast table, and our attendees this morning are Paul from Waukesha, Tom from L.A., and CJ from Stoughton. CJ, good morning. You say what?
For doing these, I think they are informative. I guess first off,
let's try it again. If you heard the question that Sandy asked initially, Sandy.
Yeah, the question that we got on the table is society and is government doing enough for our children? You know, are we taking care of children with respect to their safety and welfare, with respect to their health, with respect to their education, with respect to their daycare? Are we making sure that every child born has the opportunity to become a productive...
To
meet the birthright of being, of having every child have the opportunity to be a productive part of our society? And are we doing everything we should and could be doing?
No, I don't believe so. But I think it first comes down not to society. I think it should be the parents' responsibility. And I think that's part of the problems with Milwaukee and some of bigger cities or wherever. Kids who don't have both parents in the home.
That's a fact circumstance. Just to let's look at it through the children's eyes. A child gets born, they get born into a circumstance that is far from optimal for the child in terms of parental involvement. But what do we as a society then do about that? Because the child is born into that. They don't choose to get born into that. And now the child is born into it, and do they in fact have a birthright opportunity, or are we, is society going to stand by and say, you know what, if the parents don't do their job, then that child is going to is doomed?
Well, then we just build more jails. And that's just, some people believe that.
No, it's not all about the money either. To, you know, we've dumped a lot of money into our public school system, and we need results. And again, it starts early for these kids. And at home, Sandy.
You say we
shouldn't be the responsibility of these of the teachers to get kids to want to go to school and work hard at school. It should start at home.
I know, but CJ, let's just talk about facts. Let's talk about situations, not what should be, but what is. Because we can all agree what should be. We do want every child to get born into a family that provides the optimal influence for that child, that provides to that child the optimal opportunities. But the fact is true, isn't it, that that isn't what happens with every child. Many children, some children, get born into situations which they don't choose, which are very suboptimal. And what should we be doing in that circumstance?
Let's go to Ronald. Good morning, Ronald. How are you? Thank you very much. You say what?
Good morning.
Where are you from?
Oh, I'm in Milwaukee.
Okay, yes, sir. Go ahead.
And we get into these circular arguments about, well, you know, the schools are bad. Well, Milwaukee Public Schools are doing a pretty good job given the resources they're able to obtain. There's a cap on property taxes, which is the main way the school district can fund itself. The other way it funds itself is through state shared revenue, which are income taxes the city of Milwaukee residents pay, and then a portion of that is returned to the city. And the state has for years been cutting that amount. So the policy in Madison has been to starve the city of Milwaukee of resources it was expecting and entitled to compared to other cities. And so the school district has to cut corners at a time when it has tons of special ed kids, tons of at-risk kids that are harder to teach. And that's the bad side. The good side is I really get upset when people talk about, oh, you know, the one family, one parent households, families aren't teaching, they're taking care of their kids and all of that. Well, that is true to some extent, but if you live in Milwaukee like I do and you go around town and you go to meetings, school meetings, there's a tremendous effort by community groups and neighborhood groups and educational groups to help the schools by, you know, by Head Start type programs, daycare programs for people of need. And that indicates interest and concern, but not just by, you know, the liberals, but by those parents and their neighbors.
You know, the other part of it, Ronald, and what gets lost in all of this is the success rate of people who graduate from Milwaukee Public Schools. That somehow is not mentioned about how many children go on to higher education that exists inside of Milwaukee Public Schools. You never hear about all the different scholarships that garnered. And you never hear about the schools in Milwaukee Public Schools that rate with any school in the suburbs. They exist. But you know, if you listen to people who don't live there, that would not be the case. Hang on, Ronald. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Tom?
Well, I just agree with what Ronald just said. You know, a lot of Wisconsin is made up of small towns. And when you have small towns, you have, or at least in the rural areas, you have more control over what's kind of happening in your communities. Milwaukee's a big place.
that it is.
You know, these other cities, such as here in Los Angeles, LA Unified, they're big places. So they're going to have a lot more possible issues than some of the other places that are just small towns, like the one I came from in Wisconsin, of 2,000 people. So, you know, we have to look at this thing in terms of not just, the resources. And again, the state is the one that's determining the dollars in Wisconsin. It's not the fact that that just the city is doing it. They have to get their okay from the state, and the state has been run by people that want for the billionaire class to get what they want, and for the middle class and the working people and lower people, poor, to not get anything. It's really quite simple. It's one of those things. And again, I think property taxes is one of the worst way to actually fund our education system in our country.
All right, Sandy, Tom. Sandy, go ahead.
Well, the property tax it does strangle cities, and in particular, the way the boundaries for the city of Milwaukee are drawn, it creates an environment in which the tax base per student is not as high as the tax base in many other communities. So the property tax becomes more burdensome and has an actual impact on the property values within Milwaukee. It's complicated. So money's part of the problem. You know, the people talk about how it is. I think the attack from some has been that it's run by liberals and leftists. Well, actually, the school board's a nonpartisan election. It's run by people who are interested in the Milwaukee School District. That's who it's run by. And whether those people are liberals or Democrats or leftists is unknown. Everybody might privately have their own politics, but it's not part of the election campaign. And it's only been in the state judicial campaigns that partisanship has been introduced. Even though those are nonpartisan, the statewide election for Supreme Court has suddenly become partisan because of the injection of party money into that. And that was primarily done, quite frankly, by the conservatives who were hell-bent on making sure that they had elected to the state Supreme Court conservatives. So it's just wrong from a factual standpoint to describe the Milwaukee School District as being run by Democrats.
Paul? Paul, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead. You want to respond?
Oh, yeah. To say that the Milwaukee public school system isn't dictated by liberal politics is ludicrous. Everybody knows this. And to try to say that, oh, they've got some bipartisanship and all this and that, that's foolish. Milwaukee public school system is ran by liberal Democrats, without a doubt. It's not even, you can't even make an argument against it. Now, there certainly are.
Paul, define what that means.
I mean, are you looking into the hearts and souls of the people who sit on the board? Because they don't define themselves as Democrats, and the election is not.
I'm willing to bet if you took a survey, you would find that probably 90-some% of the school board are liberal Democrats.
And what is
by their own admission and by who they vote for?
But Paul,
Milwaukee public school system has been ran by liberal Democrats for years. It's not even an argument, and it's failing. Paul, you can't blame Republicans for a failing process.
Paul, is it safe to say then that the Waukesha public school system is run by conservatives?
I would say yes.
So if you look at the public education across the nation and compare it with the rest of the world, we aren't doing so well. And the last time I checked, we're in competition with the rest of the world. Would you agree with that?
I would agree that there's a hell of a lot of people wanting to get into this country. And if you talk to anybody else that lives in another country, so wherever, this is why America's a melting pot. So, yes, I disagree with you. We're not behind on anyone. This is the greatest country in the world to live in, without a doubt. Okay. That's why everybody wants to get
in
here.
Bring Paul down. Sandy, you want to respond to Paul?
Well, I just think, I mean, I know a lot of people feel like that, Paul, and I do think that America does attract a lot of people because of opportunity. You have to look at where they're leaving and what they're coming to and what situation they're leaving and why they're coming to here. But there's different Americas. You live in a different America, Paul, than some other people who would describe the America they live in, and what they would describe would be much different than what you would describe. And so, you know, I think that the way you're talking now, Paul, suggests that America has no progress to make, that we're as great as we need to be great, and we needn't do other things or different things. And what I was trying to posit to this group is how could we better serve the children of our country and of our community than we are currently serving them, to help them achieve their birthright so that America would be better. Not that America isn't a great place, but that so that America would be better. I think what is dangerous for America is that we become fatuous and decide that everything's good about us. It's what was wrong with General Motors in 1955. General Motors thought that they were the best automobile manufacturing company in the world, and and they began to believe their own propaganda and their own and they stopped manufacturing great cars, and they were a very troubled company up until very recently, when I think they've had a bit of a turnaround. But you know, we've got to be careful. We have to evolve into an ever better place. If you work for a large company, Paul, I'm confident that you're involved in a process called continual improvement, where you try to recognize inside your company what it is that might be wrong and what it is that you might make better, so that the company can become ever more competitive and ever better in the world in which they live. So, quite frankly, you know, I think the kind of talk you just gave about America, and to dismiss the notion that we have problems because we have people lined up at the door to enter the country, and therefore we're the greatest country in the world, is to put blinders on and to be General Motors in 1955.
All right, we've got to go to a break. Scott from Menominee Falls, Ron from Milwaukee, CJ Paul from Waukesha, CJ from Stoughton. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, Texas, that same number. It's Monday. That means Monday's with Sandy Williams. You're at the breakfast table. Let's go to Scott from Menominee Falls. Scott, you say what? Welcome.
I think it's interesting how the fellow from California said, yeah, it's real simple. Then he gave his reasons, and I think it's relatively simple too, but I have different reasons. I just think, from what I hear, there's a tremendous lack of discipline in the schools, a lot of disruption that apparently is allowed or something, otherwise it wouldn't be taking place. I think there's a reluctance to expel too many kids, because then it makes it appear, because I think the feds get involved and they come and do these audits, and then it says, well, too many black kids are being expelled, so therefore it must be racist. So instead of just saying, no, we're expelling the kids that need to be expelled, they just stop expelling, and it just gets worse and worse, and the teachers find it difficult to teach, and it's not a it's not an atmosphere conducive to learning, and I mean, who would want to teach there? They need to find a way to get the kids that don't want to learn and be disruptive out of the class, and keep the kids and the parents and everybody who wants to get involved and learn and go somewhere in life. You know, keep them in the class.
So let me ask you: do you think that there are any societal issues involved with any of this?
Well, you know, at the risk of sounding, I'm willing to discuss racial issues, and it seems like people, they label you a racist just if you want to talk about racial things. From my viewpoint, the black culture does not put a large emphasis on learning. Whereas maybe the Asians do, the Indians and Pakistanis seem to do that. I'm not sure why. It's not cool to go to school.
So let me say this to you.
In the inner city?
So let me say this to you. The Asians and the Pakistanis, when you talk about education today, they are doing better with education than white Americans. Are you aware of that?
No, he was saying that's what he was saying.
I know. So let me say this. And as a black person who lives in Milwaukee, to hear you say that the black community doesn't put a premium on education, I would say you're absolutely incorrect. As a black person who lives in the city of Milwaukee, who's involved in the education of children, you're incorrect.
Well, let me say that I think there's been some sociological analysis done of the problems, trying to look at it over a period of time. One of the most successful cohorts in this country, first-generation cohorts, are the children of Nigerian immigrants. And Nigerian immigrants are sort of the definition of African, and they when they come here, they become African Americans. And so, from the standpoint of their experience and the family experience, and then their pursuit of success in America, they're a very, very successful cohort. It isn't a racial matter; it's a socioeconomic matter. And when a family's been mired in poverty for multiple generations, they have a much different outlook on life than does the first generation immigrant. The fact is that first generation and second generation immigrants have been the most successful cohorts in American culture for a very long time. And it's because their families came here dedicated to the pursuit of excellence, because their families, nuclear families, came here with the intent of pushing their children up ahead of them. And quite frankly, it's families that have been here multiple generations who have more problems, and some of those are black.
Let's go to Ron from Milwaukee. Ron?
You know, I think Sandy, we got to get back to what Sandy was saying much earlier, asking, you know, us to compare Milwaukee public schools in the 40s and 50s, and I would add 60s and even into the 70s a little bit. And what's different about it? Well, what's not different is that the city was politically was managed and run by a combination of socialists and Democrats over those years. The school board, as you point out, Earl, it was run by nonpartisan elected board people who probably are progressive because many people in the city are progressive or Democrats. But those aren't political positions. But what changed, if that's true, that basically Milwaukee Public Schools have been run all those decades by the same kind of people who have the same kind of political mindset? What's changed is that the city has been starved of resources. The city had tens of thousands of jobs, many of which were staffed by minorities in the city. That's why they loved living in Milwaukee. And those jobs left the city, left the state, in some cases left the United States, and nothing replaced them. And then on top of that, the legislature in its unwisdom said, you know, we're going to set up a parallel competing school system to drain resources from the schools we're already draining resources from. And those school systems, those choice schools, voucher schools, whatever you want to call them, are not only doing that, but they're creaming off, cherry picking better students. And that leaves the city public school system with students at risk, students who have disabilities. Students are special in the special classes, which cost a lot more to teach, which requires a lot more teacher-intensive time and effort. It's a much more stressful situation for everybody. And, you know, you'd almost think some people out there would like to see Milwaukee stressed.
So, Ron, it's safe to say that you know your way around the system. Clearly, you are a man who apparently is either involved or have been involved, and you know your way around it. But I want to thank everybody. We're out of time, guys. Thank you, Ron, CJ, Scott, Paul. Thank you for participating. Sandy, you want to say what in closing?
No, I think these are useful processes. I think we'll try and have them periodically and probably for 45 minutes or so during various shows, because I think it's important that we all talk to one another.
Yeah, I think it's a brilliant idea, Sandy, and I'm excited about where we'll be going with this. I want to thank everybody who made the show go today. Thank all of you for listening. Tell somebody about us. Tell somebody about the program. Tell us about what you think. And I'll be back on tomorrow. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Thank you, Connor. See you guys later.
it feel to be you?